Very nice.
Do you remember the Our Father? Let's try it.
All right.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer.
It is a beautiful prayer.
Yeah, there they are. Well, they lived considering all they had to do in their lifetime. They came to this country at the right time and didn't have to live through that Second World War horror. We weren't Jewish, but we had Jewish friends. And the woman that owned the candy store in their village in the Transylvania mountains of Mărișel, Romania. Oh. I think there was one Jewish family, and my mother had a friend that she would walk with when they were in school. And one girl was particularly, she had a comic strain in her somehow. But leading up to Easter, you know, when you greeted somebody, you would say, "Christ is risen." And the other party would say, "Indeed, he has risen." However, this friend of my mother's knew when somebody was coming towards her that was of the Jewish faith. And she would say, being the contrary type, "Christ has risen." And this one time she said it to somebody from the village, and he said, "Did you see him?" Yeah.
That's a quick wit.
And do you know that in the First World War, they came and took away the bells of the church in the village? And do you have any idea why?
So they wouldn't be able to tell people when the Germans were coming or when the Allies were coming.
No.
No? To melt them down into cannons.
That's right. Or bullets. I don't know.
Yeah.
And my mother said when they dropped the bell down into the yard, there had been grass there. And she said it went, you know, a couple of inches into the earth. It was that heavy.
I bet it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, Grandma's father, who was a translator.
Yeah, interpreter in the First World War. Mm-hmm. And he died somewhere in Yugoslavia.
So he was a casualty of the First World War.
Right.
Knew somebody in our family that we know for sure died in war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to look up his genealogy, because the last name of her father was Titieni, and that is not exactly a Romanian name. But there are actors in present-day Romania by that name. And I often wondered, you know, if I would ever meet one of the actors that, and there are many actors by that name. I would ask them a little bit about their genealogy, but all I know is, and you see now, the man's, my grandfather's name, first name eludes me, but if I think a bit, it'll pop back in my head. Mm-hmm. My memory, you know, my being, what am I now, 87?
87.
Yeah, sometimes I remember the past very, very well, but it's the present that eludes me when I relate it to somebody. But the past I remember pretty well.
And Grandma's mother was a midwife, as I recall.
Right, and she was university trained in Cluj, I believe, Romania. And she was the official baby doctor for like three villages in the Bistrița Năsăud County.
Mm. Including Mureșel?
Mureșel, where they lived, yeah.
But she was gone a lot.
Oh yes, because she had to serve the three villages, and she was away at school, and she was very happy to be certificated, and I guess it did a bit of doing to be able to go to school in Cluj. However, she is known for introducing Lysol to the village. And everybody said that before she would deliver a baby, she wanted everything scrubbed. And you know they had mud floors in their homes with Lysol, including the gypsy caravans, because she delivered gypsy babies also. And she said that the gypsies who traveled in wagons, you know, had only one car specifically for the delivery of babies. Mm. And it was outfitted beautifully. It was a beautifully decorated, and it was reserved for the delivery of babies.
And this was a horse-drawn wagon.
Yeah.
That's what they were, all
horse-drawn. Oh, absolutely.
Wagons, all the gypsies.
Oh, yes. Oh. But what my grandmother would do when she saw her chance, she would take the gypsy baby to the church and have it baptized.
This is your grandmother.
My
who
grandmother
was the midwife.
Now,
do you remember her name?
Her name was Crucița. Now,
which means
it's the name for the cross.
The cross, a little cross.
But it's the diminutive.
Yeah.
The word for cross is crucea or cruce. But for a little cross, it's Crucița. So it's the little cross.
Right.
Her name means little cross. And as I said, her maiden name was
Titiani.
No.
No, oh no, no, that's
That's the father's,
that's
her
the, that
father's.
That was the father's.
But her
Grandma
maiden
Anna's
name,
father.
Yeah, Grandma. No, not Grandma. My mother's great-grandmother.
Ooh,
no, my great-grandmother.
Your great-grandmother.
My mother's grandmother was married to a man by the name of... It'll come to me in a minute. Pope.
Oh, yeah, all right.
But it was spelled P-O-P, because the O in Romanian is always O. unlike the English or the Roman alphabet. It could be, it would be without the E on the end, it would be pop.
Yeah.
But with the E on the end, it in English would be Pope. And they pronounced it in the Romanian language as Pope, but it was spelled P-O-P. And her uncle, who brought her to America, was, his name was Alexander Pope. And he left the village as a young man and went to the Black Sea to earn his living. And he had a beautiful voice and was known for being able to sing the well-known ballads. And that's how he made his money. And he came to the United States of America before the First World War. And then after the First World War, he asked for my mother to come and join him in America, because by now her mother had died, her father had died in the war, and that's what my mother did. And she came to the United States after the First World War, whereas my father came to the United States before the First World
War. Before or during?
Before.
Before it actually broke
out. But they knew that Germany was preparing.
Yeah.
So many people were going from the village of Mărișel in the Transylvania Mountains of Romania, were going to Germany to work in the mills or do some kind of work in Germany. And it was arranged, because my father was slight, having been born in 1892, by the time, and everyone knew, I guess, that Germany was preparing for war, let's say it was 1912, they knew about this.
He would have only been 10, or 20 in 1912, right?
I wasn't born until 1924, Charles.
Right, so in 1912...
So it was my...
He would have been 20, because he was born in 1892.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but in let's see, if the Germans were preparing for the war, and I said the First World War started in 1917...
17, yeah, that was...
And my father was born in 1892. No, it's not...
I'm a little confused on when the First World War ended. I thought it ended in 1918.
No.
The Bolshevik Revolution was in 1917. So maybe it started in 1914.
It wasn't the Russians that started the...
No,
it was the Germans.
The revolution.
So they were not Bolshevik, I don't believe.
No, not the Germans.
Well, the Russians were not...
The Russian Revolution, the Communist Revolution.
Oh, I don't,
that happened,
I don't know.
That happened in 1917. I'm just trying to get it straight in my mind. I think the war started in 1914.
The First World War started in 1914. But my father came earlier.
Before that.
And the way he left the little village in Romania was coming, getting to Germany by posing that he was the son of a man from their village that was going to Germany to work in the... in the mills there that were making the preparation for war, and they needed more workers. So there was a man from the village going to Germany.
And he posed
as his
son. Now,
let's say this, the war started in 19...
Do we know the name of that man, by any chance?
I don't know it.
Okay.
My mother would know it. Mm. And so if the war against the nations of Europe, France, and so forth...
The Allies.
Started in 1914. Yeah. My father was born in 1892. So 8 and 14 is 22. He was a young man.
Yeah.
But because he was of short stature, he was... Romanians are not hairy. And he was of slight stature, as I said. He, even when I knew him, and he shaved only twice a week. Most men shave every day, right?
Hmm.
Not my dad. He, in other words, sparse. He had sparse beard, and so he posed as the 13-year-old son of a man going to work in Germany.
So he was too young to go to war because he was 13.
Yeah.
And so he was able to avoid
or work
conscription.
So he went knowing full well that he was older and he didn't want to go to war. Of course, Romania was not involved until later in the First World War.
And they fought for the Axis powers, as I recall. So how did he then arrange to get from
Germany...
Well, the
Germany? Axis, you're thinking of the Second World War. That was the Axis term,
no, Second World War was with the Nazis.
Yeah,
the
but
First
didn't
World
they
War,
have an Axis
the,
also?
Well, I guess they were called the Axis powers.
Yeah, so because Germany was fighting alone in the First World War. Can you imagine? Yes.
No, I think... they.
Well,
had,
who else fought with them?
I think Romania fought with the Kaiser. Yeah. I think if he had stayed in Romania and been conscripted, he would have fought with the Kaiser.
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to check
we
on
We have
that.
To look that up.
So, how is it that he arranged passage to the United States?
By posing as the 13-year-old son.
So he did that to get into Germany as well as to get into the United States.
And then from there, he made the arrangements to get into the United States.
And did he?
Because the World War had not started yet, the First World War. It had not started yet, but everybody knew that Germany was preparing.
Could see it happening. So did he have people waiting for him when he arrived in the United States?
No.
No, he didn't.
He didn't know anybody, excepting he had heard, of course, that there were people that had left Romania and living in Ohio, and there were... many towns like Salem, Ohio, Alliance, Ohio, Canton, Ohio was one that had steel mills and areas that he could find work.
So immigration into the United States must have been a lot easier.
I believe so.
As opposed to when Grandma Anna came, because she was almost stopped because she had to prove that she had somebody waiting for her.
No, the reason she was stopped in Le Havre, France. It was because someone in her party that had gotten as far as Le Havre, France, who was in her party of friends that were together.
Contracted
lice. They had, they found some...
A louse.
Some, what do we call them, cooties or
lice
in her
hair. Yeah.
So they had to wash their hair every day because they wouldn't leave
till they could pass inspection.
Leave her alone, you see.
So they were like a bunch of monkeys that preening each other's hair all the time.
Yeah. Combing it with a fine tooth comb and all that. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when she got to Ellis Island, she had problems there as well.
Yes, she did. Yeah. Because, well, first of all, she didn't know the language. And secondly, the interrogator was not too patient. So every time he would say something to her, she would turn her head from side to side, indicating no.
Just because she didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah,
had no idea.
Indicating, I don't know what you're saying, but she couldn't even say that.
Right.
So she just shook her head and raised her shoulders,
Shrugged
her shoulders. Usually that indicates, who knows, who cares, you know. So somebody in the back said, you know, you better nod your head yes. Somebody that spoke Romanian, of course, one of these times, because they're going to send you back if you keep saying no.
Yeah.
So that's what she did on the next question. She moved her head up and down, and he said, all right, here is your money. We have your money.
So she had money waiting for her.
From her
uncle. She just had to nod her head yes when he asked her if she was who she said she was, so something like that.
He asked her a question, and yes was the right answer, and she nodded her head. And so she
got in. But when Grandpa Charlie came in, he
didn't have a problem in the United States, my father, even though he didn't speak English. Somehow they looked at him and thought he was able-bodied, and
none of
these guys speak English. Right. What's the use of that? I don't know what went through their heads at the interrogation at Ellis Island.
But he didn't have trouble.
He didn't have any trouble.
I mean, you know, did he enter at Ellis Island?
Yeah, everybody did.
Yeah, everybody did. So he came through that portal and made his way to Ohio, but we don't know.
Don't forget, he came before
the war.
And my mother came after the World War.
Completely different time. Yeah.
Well, and being not being male, you know, it was a different story.
Yeah.
Especially in the European side.
Right. But during the war, during the First World War, my grandma Anna, that's who we're talking about here, because her mother, the midwife, was away a lot of the time, Anna had to live with her grandmother.
Right.
Right. And they...
But her grandmother had a lot of children, so she had many aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm. Cousins.
Cousins.
Yeah, she was living with. And they all lived together?
Well, only the mother and the grandmother and my mother lived in their house, which was right next to the river, the Muddy Shell River that flows through the little town of Muddy Shell, the little village. And oftentimes that river would rise, they would have to leave their home. Mm. My mother was always so afraid of drowning. Mm. She remembers running from the and they had a little tributary of the river in back of their house. Then the main river was in front of the house.
Oh, so on both sides.
But there was a road between the front side and the river, so they had a little more leeway, and the river had made its little gully, so it was from the back that they were very worried, and they would have to leave because there were just fields in the back, and a hill. Yeah, it was always a concern when the rivers would rise.
And then they had, everybody had a mud floor back then, and a thatched roof, and probably no glass windows of any kind.
They seemed to have glass when I was there.
Huh.
Now, if they didn't, what could they have?
Well, when I was there in 68, I remember the windows were all... They had built brick houses at that time, and they still had dirt floors, but the windows, the window openings were all blocked with stacked bricks. You could see where the windows were going to go. And if I recall correctly, the windows were actually made of true arches. So they were arched windows, but then the window opening was filled with bricks because they hadn't yet received glass from the... from the communist glass
regime.
Who doled them out?
I don't know. It seems to me when I was in Europe in 1932. I was almost eight.
But they had brick. The homes were brick then too.
They were wood. They were brick, but then they had the whitewash over them. They were all white, and they had windows at that time.
Now, Grandma Anna living with her grandmother had to billet soldiers during the war. Isn't that right?
Well, yes. The father was off to war, and the grandmother was
Anna's grandmother. Is that who you're talking about? We got a lot of grandmothers.
Yeah,
here.
The grandmother lived, and her mother, who was the midwife, traveled to three other villages to deliver babies. Besides the gypsies who had their baby in a beautiful cart that we talked about, and
they had to put up some soldiers. They had to
during
the war. Now, were those
and
German
one
soldiers?
Was,
or?
One was what they called Sash, which was not quite a true German. I don't know the difference really, but I think the name Sash, I'll have to look it up in a Romanian dictionary, but I think it might have meant, because you know Hungarian and German, I think are a closely related language. Mm-hmm. And Austrians also, mm-hmm. Austrians, and so the Sash were like a mixture of all three of those.
So one soldier was Sash, and how many soldiers were there, do you remember?
Well, there was one Romanian, one was Sash, and the other one must have been, you know, Yugoslavian or Serbian or...
But not German.
Well,
he may have been German.
I don't know. I don't think she mentioned one being a German.
So,
but it makes sense if they were, because they wanted the Transylvania region. They still think they should have gotten it, you know, and so do the Hungarians. They always
everybody wanted
Transylvania. Well, it's where the forests were, the mountains, clear water. And then, I don't know when they discovered oil, but I'm sure there was... But they always thought it should have been Austrian or Hungarian or German. And it's where the forests were. The other lands were flat or near the Black Sea, or they were a little different. But it was very rich earth. Romania has always had a... If you were healthy and could work hard in the fields, you always had enough to eat. And that's why she was prized, because even Transylvania, the mountains were not like in Austria and Switzerland, and where they're barren, you know, nothing grows in rock, I guess.
No, so, very fertile. Yeah, yeah. Romania is very fertile. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, who is the man? William Penn, who came to the United States during pre-revolutionary times, named Pennsylvania after or knowing about Transylvania, where the richness was in the mountains and the streams and the trees. And, and Pennsylvania is known for having all those properties too. And that's why he named it Pennsylvania.
He named it after himself?
And then Sylvania, no. I guess, means...
It means mountains.
Forest.
Uh-huh, right.
Sylvan.
Yeah, like civiculture is the study of trees. Civiculture. Oh. So maybe that's the same root.
Sylvan?
Civiculture.
How do you spell it?
S-I-V-I-L. Civil culture.
The spelling doesn't sound right. Yeah. We'll have to look that up, too.
We'll have to look
that up, too. We're learning what we don't know in these areas.
All right.
And the mountains also supplied them with salt water. You know, there were mountains that when you go into the caves, and I've been in one in Germany. Of course, I was traveling with Ed through Germany and Austria, and we went into a salt mine in a boat. It was all salt.
You mean
the water was salt.
Yeah. So there were some rivers that were highly saline that had a lot of water in them.
Oh, yes.
And that probably it was a source of not just salt, but also other minerals that replenished the fields. Because back then, it was before fertilizers. And, you know, without fertilizers, you could deplete the soil easily.
Oh, but they would save the fertilizer from their animals.
Oh, well, from the animals. But but there, too, it would be depleted over time.
Yeah.
But the flooding of the rivers, the very flooding that scared Grandma so much, was also what would bring nutrients back to the fields, flood the fields.
But the rivers in open country were not saline. These were rivers that were in mountains, and they would use the water as salt.
Oh, my. Okay. So they must have had salt ponds, and they must have been drying the salt and extracting it that way as well.
I don't know. They had ways of, but they all knew they had to have salt in their diet.
Yeah. Well, this has been a long interview. I think we've gone 35 minutes here. I'm going to end it. And shall we, let me get a picture of you standing in front of the crypt here.
All right.
Okay.